From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Here's Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and China have formally agreed to strengthen cooperation in the tourism sector, as outlined in a newly signed memorandum of understanding aimed at significantly increasing tourist visits between the two countries. The MOU signing was a key event during the Chinese Premier Li Qiang's working visit to Indonesia, which spanned from Saturday, May 24th until Monday, May 26th. And the next news. President Prabowo Subianto extended an invitation to Chinese entrepreneurs to invest in Indonesia, emphasizing not only natural resources downstreaming, but also the crucial science and technology sector. He conveyed this message during his speech at the Indonesia-China Business Reception, an event also attended by Chinese Premier Li Qiang, held in Jakarta on Saturday. And that was the news.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Hello, Voice listener. Welcome back to Indonesia Today with your host, Ray, where I'll be accompanying you in the next 1 hour, providing you with news, information, and also entertainment from Indonesia to the world. And Voice listener, in this day of Monday, of course, the start of the weekday with lots and lots of things to do. And of course, not just that, we have things that we are being waiting for, and one of the things that I've been waiting for is a message from one of you guys listener. So we have a special message that been sent to our listener from Jang, Pakistan. The message read, Dear honored English language service team, Voice of Indonesia, warmest greetings to you, filled with deep love and admiration and heartfelt respect. I hope this message finds you in peace and happiness. Thank you so much. With great humility and affection, I write to express my deepest gratitude for the wonderful work your team does through the English broadcast of Voice of Indonesia. Our programs are truly a delight, a perfect harmony of culture, information, and human warmth. Each broadcast is like a gentle melody that brings the heart of Indonesia closer to the world and to listeners like me who are eagerly tuning in to hear your beautiful voices. Your team's dedication, kindness, and professionalism make every moment on air feel personal, thoughtful, and full of meaning. That was such a sweet words That comes from our listener. Thank you so much, Muhammad Akil Bashir, for your kind messages. And for those of you who want your message and maybe acknowledge live on broadcast just like now, you can always tune into our online streaming in voinews.id in shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. And our application in RRE Digital for those of you who love watching on demand. And so, Voi listener, don't forget to tune in to our broadcast with me, Ray, in this 1 hour, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Kesal dengan sikapmu yang selalu bertanya mana perhatianku. Mungkin kau tak pernah merasakan apa yang ku lakukan di setiap pengorbananku. Selalu jadi yang kau mau, menjaga di setiap saat, tapi kau tak melihatnya. Apalagi kan mikirin kamu. Tiap pagi malam ku selalu memikirkan kamu. Buka pintu hatimu agar kau tahu isi hatiku. Semua perjuanganku tertuju padamu. Mungkin kau tak pernah merasakan apa yang ku lakukan di setiap pengorbananku. Selalu jadi yang kau mau, menjaga di setiap saat, tapi kau tak melihatnya.
Thank you. once you step foot on the enchanting island of Bali. You're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. To ensure you make the most of your Bali adventure, here's a story highlighting the essential of traveling in this tropical paradise. Embrace the local culture, meet the Balinese people with a warm smile, and respect their customs and traditions. Use your best attire, and if you're a woman with a period day, don't go to a temple or other sacred places. Explore the natural beauty. Bali is home to stunning landscapes. Do explore lush rice terraces, pristine beaches, and lush forests. Hike up to Mount Baitar. Prioritize your safety. Don't climb the sacred trees, and get the sunrise you'll never forget. Practice responsible tourism. Support eco-friendly and sustainable practices. Choose accommodations that prioritize environmental conservation and respect local communities. Bali's natural beauty is a treasure. Don't litter on beaches, in forests, or the ocean. Dispose of your trash properly and consider participating in beach cleanup efforts. As you embark on your Bali adventure, remember that responsible tourism ensures that this island paradise remains enchanting for generations to come. Bali welcomes you with open arms. It's up to you to protect its beauty and culture. Bali awaits, ready to weave its magic into your travel story. Safe travels, and may your journey be filled with wonder and discovery.
Thank you.
Voice listener, after this, you will listen to an interview about what, of course, about the Ministry of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers has set a target of placing 425,000 Indonesian citizens in overseas jobs in 2025. One of the countries is South Korea, and how is the implementation of this program? After this, you will be tuned in with the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul, Ibu Zelda Wulan Kartika, as they charged in affairs ad interim of the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul. Only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, VOI listener. Welcome to VOI Talk. And listener, the Ministry of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers has set a target of placing 425,000 Indonesian citizens in overseas jobs in 2025. One of the countries is South Korea. And how is the implementation of this program? And right now, my name is Ray. Joining me today is the charge d'affaires ad interim of the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul, South Korea, Ibu Zelda Wulan Kartika. Good morning, Bu. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Mas Ray. I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, how is the current condition of South Korea right now, in Seoul especially?
Well, the weather is getting warmer because it's now spring. And so it's a very nice weather actually for visiting South Korea right now.
Okay, not just the weather, but there's also something warm about the information, about an interesting information, where Indonesian government plan to send more Indonesian migrant workers to South Korea. And how is the possibility or chances that it might be happening?
Yes, so we are aware that Vice Minister of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, Ibu Christina Ariani, has met with Ambassador Cecep Herawan, who is the Indonesian Ambassador Designate to South Korea early this month. So as far as I know, the meeting was to ask for Ambassador's views on the possibility of increasing the placement of Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea. This placement is aimed at expanding employment opportunities to work abroad and bring multiple benefits to Indonesia and Korea. So our migrant workers support the growth and development in their countries of destination, including the labor shortage issue in Korea, while Indonesia would also benefit from their remittances and the skills acquired during their working experience abroad. This means if the placement increases, Indonesia would also gain more benefit from migrant workers' placement. So considering the important meaning of this placement, we have to make sure the policy of the new government of Korea, they are going to have the presidential election in June 3rd, would support and meet our objective. So for this purpose, the Embassy of Indonesia in Seoul continues engaging closely with the Korean government in exploring not only on sector and quota expansions for the existing G2G scheme, but also exploring other sectors for professionals and high-skilled workers using P2P and individual job application.
Okay, that is really interesting insight about it. And what kind of jobs that are available for Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea, and what is possibly the most current, the most interesting one that Indonesian migrant workers can take?
Based on the schemes with Korea, there are some sectors that Indonesian migrant workers can fill in. First, for the G2G scheme, they use the E9 visa. Indonesian migrant workers can work in manufacture and fishing sectors. As I mentioned before, that the type of the visa is E9. And secondly, for P2P scheme and also individually applied jobs, they use E7 and E10 visa. E71 visa is for professional workers such as senior executive, manager, engineer, and so on. And also the second one is E72 visa for semi-professional worker, for example, chef. Mm-hmm. And third is the E73 visa for general workers such as shipbuilding welder, aircraft mechanic, and manufacturer. And the fourth one is E10 visa. This is for vessel crew.
Hmm. There are many interesting jobs for Indonesian to take there. And there are more than 50,000 of Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea as we speak of right now. And mm-hmm. what makes South Korean company interested to Indonesian migrant workers?
Well, Korea's working environment is hard and demanding. So in facing these challenges, most company owners in South Korea commend good behavior, determination, and diligence of our Indonesian migrant workers, as well as their strong desire to learn and do more. Mm. The companies are also in favor and appreciate Indonesian migrant workers' good solidarity and helpful attitude, not only among Indonesian workers, but also with other migrant workers and Korea society. You might be aware that there are three Indonesian migrant workers have recently received an award of a permanent resident visa by the Korean government as an appreciation for their good deeds in helping and saving many Korean people from a fire disaster in Yongdok village in southern part of South Korea. This reflects a concrete evidence that our Indonesian migrant workers are not only good workers, but also have good sense of humanity. So that's what the Korean people like about Indonesian migrant worker.
Okay, so that is really interesting because three Indonesian migrant workers is accepting permanent visas to stay in South Korea as we
permanent residence
in South Korea because of the hard work, diligence, and also the thinking of other people instead of their own. We must really appreciate it, and I hope the best for them. And of course, what kind of approach that needs to be done so that Indonesian migrant workers gain trust and chances to work in South Korea? Do they have to do the same thing as the three people that you've mentioned before, or?
Yeah, well, hopefully. So, we believe that the awards is the affirmation of trust for the Korean government, the companies and society to Indonesian migrant workers. So the approach that needs to be taken is how to maintain that trust. Mm-hmm. There are two ways. First, the Indonesian government should send skilled workers who must excel in their job. So Korea's Sajang is the boss, I mean the owners of the company. They prefer to choose a ready-to-use worker and mastering Korean language to fasten the production process in their company. And second, to ensure that Indonesian migrant workers complete their job contract, well adapt with Korean tradition and culture, as well as obey Korean government rules and regulations. These terms must be understood by Indonesian migrant workers before they are recruited or during the pre-departure program. So those two ways are very important in maintaining the trust that the Korean people, the Korean government grant to Indonesian workers.
Okay, so before Indonesian workers start to go to South Korea, is there like any training that is being given to Indonesian migrant workers in Indonesia before they go to South Korea? Is there any like specific schools from Indonesia?
Yes, as far as I know, there is a program, the pre-departure program. Hmm. This is conducted by the Ministry of the Protection of Indonesian Migrant Worker or P2AMI. Mm-hmm. So they usually, it is located in Jakarta, if not mistaken, before they are brought to South Korea, before they depart to South Korea.
Mm-hmm. So they must be ready before So they can immediately start working in South Korea.
Yes, for sure. They should be ready for that.
Of course. And so, for the first stage, is there any targets until the end of this year?
So you mean the program of that, the one that was being discussed by the Vice Minister and the Ambassador?
Yes, that is the
one. The program hasn't been discussed officially by the government. Mm. So we at the embassy, we are still, I still don't know about this, the stages. However, the embassy in embassy of Indonesia in Seoul is always working closely in engaging the Korean government in the efforts to increase the placement quota of Indonesian migrant workers through existing schemes and job sectors, as well as exploring new sectors. Some new job sectors are still in the process by the Korean government, such as painting and electrician sectors for shipbuilding. Mm. And we are also looking for opportunities to open new sectors that can recruit more Indonesian migrant workers. But of course, if I may, I would like to underline that we need to nurture more competent and valuable migrant workers so that we can gain the most benefit of increasing Indonesian migrant workers abroad, especially in South Korea.
Okay. So what is the first thing for the embassy do after the workers arrive in South Korea?
So usually our labor attaché, they will meet them at the airport, and then the labor attaché will also accompany the workers to their respective companies and make sure that they are in touch with the embassy the most important is to spread the information about the local regulation, rules and regulations, how to live in South Korea and the culture, and how to adapt easily to the situation, to the society in South Korea, because it's so different from Indonesia actually. So they have to work harder for sure. As you are aware, the South Korea, they like working harder, fast. We call it pali-pali. Our Indonesian workers must adapt to that culture of work.
Okay. So maybe I think this will be the most interesting question. Is there any specific residential area for Indonesian migrant workers to like live together, or maybe live near the office or near the embassy for the safety of the Indonesian migrant workers?
The workers, they usually live near their company where they work. So not near the embassy for sure.
Okay.
This is because the location of their companies are located outside of Seoul.
Mm, okay.
Their companies usually they have their dormitory for the workers. So they usually they live there.
Mm.
They have their own dormitory for sure.
Okay, but they can easily contact the embassy if needed.
Yes, for sure.
Assistance.
For sure, and we really hope that they would contact the embassy and report about their arrival in South Korea, so that we can, if there is anything happen to them, we can the embassy can reach them and to help them.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Ibu Zelda Wulan Kartika, for your time. And hopefully, my listener, Indonesia will be able to fulfill the global demands for human resources that have reached 1.3 million. And listener, that was the special interview in VOI Talk for today. I'm Ray, and I'll see you again on the next VOI Talk.
Voice of Indonesia.
hati padaikan datang, angin akan buat kau goyah. Maafkan, hidup memang ingin kau lebih kuat. Andaikan saat itu datang, kami tak ada menemani. Aku ingin kau mendengar nyanyianku di sini.
Listener, after this, you will watch a feature from Voice of Indonesia and also as a closing for today's Indonesia Today in RRI Net. But don't go anywhere, because after this, Voice of Indonesia will continue giving you lots and lots of information from Indonesia to the world. So make sure to send us your messages through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id, and also our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. And without any further ado, here is feature finishing from Voice of Indonesia.
Nenek moyangku orang pelaut, gemar mengambil. yang jaya di lautan pada milenium.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat ombak 9 meter. Saya kok pengen lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi, oke. Dia bilang.
Kalau silap BBC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitarnya tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finnish sail.
Sembilan belas, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar pinisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam apa namanya ya? Cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari solompong, there was palari tongkol. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun
di people's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long. But with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Spinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Spinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Spinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Spinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Spinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
at that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Spinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Spinisi di Bandung ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumba, South Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan finishnya 1 tahun lebih.
With the Spinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishi made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship rooms. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk pakai tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Alhamdulillah, papangnya disusun, satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali seling, tali tian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini.
Ah, that's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
there is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. They seem to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats or whatever boats were called Finnish in the 70s were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa, yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sink. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve f from x, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Finnish.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit, sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada halayak ramai, supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini si doa.
For joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Stop picking the wrong durian. People mostly say durian has strong smell and tastes weird, but chances are, you're getting the bad durian. To pick the best durian, you only need two steps. Step 1, check the stem.
Ini kalau teri jangan dibeli.
Good durians have soft and moist stem, not dry. Step 2, knock it off. Good durians sound lower when knocked. Additional step. Some seller allows you to get a taste from the durian you pick. If not good, just pick another one. Now you know how to pick the best durian, and of course you should.
Apa kabarmu? Ku harap kau merindukanku seperti aku di sini merindumu, menginginkanmu ada di sini. Baikkah engkau di sana? Kau memikirkanku seperti aku di sini memikirkanmu. di setiap hembusan nafasku. Ku merindukanmu, sungguh aku rindu kepadamu. Kasih, andai waktu dapat ku putar kembali, kan ku jaga setiap cinta dan mimpi kita. Oh, namun kini kita ada di ruang dan waktu yang berbeda. Tuhan tolong sampaikan pesan rinduku padanya. Aku merindumu setengah mati. Aku rindu kepadamu kasih. Andai waktu dapat ku putar kembali, kan ku jaga setiap cinta dan mimpi kita. Oh, oh, oh. Namun kini kita ada di ruang dan waktu yang berbeda. Oh, Tuhan tolong sampaikan pesan. Tuhan tolong sampaikan pesan rinduku padanya.
Sahabatku. So that was my newest single called Sahabat Tersayang, but actually that song is a remake of my old song from 2006.
Sahabatku yang setia.
It's been 18 years since the release of the original song, but now I remake it into a new version, to a more adult version of the song, because originally Sahabat Tersayang, it was the meaning of sahabat, best friend itself is very universal, right? But the meaning of the original song, the best friend is my mother. So I remake this song into a newer version. Initially, I wanna present the song for my mother as a Mother's Day song, but turns out I was pregnant at that time, so it was kind of perfect. Now that I am a mother, I am an adult, so my daughter can now, you know, present this song for me as a mother. So it's kind of like a full circle moment for this song, Sahabat Tersayang.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.